Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
This episode of The Instance is brought to you by Simple Contacts, an easy and convenient way to renew your contact lens prescription or reorder your contacts from anywhere. Within minutes, get $30 off your first Simple Contacts order by visiting simplecontacts.com/wow and entering the promo code WOW.
I'm Ghostcrawler. I am totally off the leash, and you are listening to The Instance.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 520. Blaze up! Oh, wait, that's 420. Oops. Don't blaze up. We're not encouraging recreational marijuana use here on the show until it becomes legal in all 50 states in the United States of America, and perhaps Helsinki. Anyway, hey, welcome back, everybody. It's good to be here. It is April 13th, 2018. I'm Scott Johnson. Joining me today, the father of the year, clearly, Patrick Beja. Hello.
You mean father of the year because I'm abandoning my child to come do the show?
Yes.
I guess that qualifies me.
How's he doing? He's good? Everything's good?
Yeah, he's doing well. Let me tell you, once you figure out a little bit of how babies work, it's a lot easier. I mean, we don't have all of the secrets figured out yet, but a little bit, and it's become manageable. So
nice.
Yeah.
All right. I like it. I like where you're at. It's good to have you back, though. It's been a while. I feel like we've missed you. He also moved. A lot going on, and I can't wait to hear your fresh
boxes everywhere. And listen, I'm in the countryside, in the middle of nowhere in Finland, but I do have fiber, so that's what matters.
Well, it keeps you regular. All right, and also with us, returning for the three weeks into this now.
This is number three in a row.
That's right, Garrett Weinzerpel, also known as Weinzerl to his family. He's here. Hello, Garrett. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Scott.
All on his lonesome there in Florida, his wife off doing work. He has to just kind of hold down the fart by himself. I'm very impressed. Mm-hmm. Very impressed.
There's a lot of poop and pee over here too, but it's all coming from dogs.
I was going to say.
Hey, you know, babies at the age mine's at is not all that different from a dog.
Yeah.
Frankly, it's not all that clever, doesn't do much, mainly eats poops and sometimes smiles, which is nice, but not often.
Look, we'll take sometimes over never. Also, should mention, Terpster is at the BAFTAs this weekend. That is the British something-something award something deal. I don't know what they do over there. It's all space points and monkey bones.
I think they wear tuxes.
They do.
And they're being fancy. And they meet fancy people and pretend like it's cool and it's nothing when they tweet pictures of it.
Yeah.
That's why I saw him wearing a tux on Instagram. I thought he was cosplaying as James Bond for a day.
Well, in his head, he always is, but sure. And also, he got to hobnob with a bunch of gaming luminaries. Some people like the actual player unknown was there, and he got a little picture with him. I wonder how that guy's feeling in the Fortnite world now. But anyway,
well, listen, I think the amounts of millions of dollars that his company is making is helping him sleep at night, even though Fortnite is more popular at the moment.
Yeah. What else is great about that shot, though? And this is totally something only
the
I
blue
would care
thing
about.
On his nose.
He has a blue thing on his nose that looks like a hole. And the name of the Korean publishing partner is Blue Hole. So it looked like he was putting his arm around Player Unknown while he had a blue hole on his nose, which, you know, only entertains me, apparently.
I think, I read this and I thought, as I often do when I read your tweets, Scott, why did he tweet this? And I guess you just gave me the answer.
Man, people could ask that question every damn day. Why do I tweet at all, honestly? But anyway, it's good to be here with a relatively full crew. He should be back next week. We talked a bunch off air. We were going to try to sneak in a lore episode about the upright Zandalari trolls, and we never were able to get a time squeezed out. But that should excite some people that maybe we'll have an upcoming episode where we just really break down those trolls and talk about why they're so trolly and so upright.
I'll save you some time. They look cooler and they ride dinosaurs. That's all you need to know.
Oh, man. I didn't realize that we had the entire summation in one sentence. Now forget it. We're not doing that episode now.
I have a question before we launch into the show proper.
Yeah.
So you got the release date last week, commented about that quite a bit.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Did we, I'm going to use the we, even though it's probably, you know, one of us, but did we predict it would be mid-August or did we say late August?
I think we said,
we said mid-August.
We should write this stuff down. I don't know why we don't write our predictions down.
We really should. Because I was watching, you know, Taliesin and Evitel, those British, silly, funny people who do videos about WoW.
They're wonderful.
They were saying like, they were doing a video and they were going like, oh, nobody predicted it was going to be August 14th. And everyone was shocked. And I was watching the video going like, no, we did.
Yeah, we did. We said August. We said August. I don't know if we got real specific about when in August, but I know we said August. I think we
did. Hey, Scott, listen, let's pretend we did. We said 14th of August. And so we can stick it to Taliesin and Evitel.
I like that. They listen. At least I think they do. They used to. They told me that at BlizzCon that they listen. So maybe they'll hear it.
Yeah, sometimes they do. I think. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, this gets really personal and specific. There are some things that I would like to keep private between them and me because it's personal.
Oh, I see. We're starting to dig around the edges of something controversial here. I kind of want to keep going.
Well, I mean, there might be some jealousy happening in there between people, because I think, you know, I masquerade into some kind of weird hatred, but really, you know, it's all love inside.
Sure.
And that's what I'm trying to hide.
So. Soft, gooey love. Yeah, I'm with you.
Enough about them.
Yeah. That prediction, though, or that date still feels earlier than I would have expected. Like, even though I think we were all hoping for a summer release, and Garrett and I talked about this a little bit last week, but it does feel good to have it not be right around BlizzCon or the week after BlizzCon or the week before, like sometimes happens. It feels like we're going to get a nice stretch of uninterrupted play of the game before a whole lot of
before,
us.
Yeah. Like fall apocalypse comes upon us.
Game apocalypse.
Literally the first half of September, there's like five games that come out that everyone's going to want to play.
And I don't know I don't know. I mean, maybe this was part of their plan for the new date or for this date, but it does nicely avoid things like Red Dead Redemption and, you know, some other huge releases.
If there's one thing I've learned about Blizzard through my many years of covering them and working there, it's that they care nothing about dates. They're like, oh, it's ready. All right, ship it.
Really?
And you're like, but it's the middle of summer. Like, no one's available to hype it up or like to. They're like, we don't care. It's ready. Like, we think
that it killed them to have to move the Warcraft movie to get out of the way of Star Wars. They were like, no, this goes against everything we stand for.
Oh, good point. They did do that, didn't they? I forgot about that. They must have hated that if that's their regular mode. But then again, that's studios and other stuff and less them. But Patrick, this is actually really good insight. I have never asked you this before, and I can't believe I haven't. But you're saying to me that when it comes to release dates of content, WoW, all their other games, they don't care what the competition's doing on dates. So any rumors, if anything happens where it's like a weird release, like, oh, it came out the week, this expansion came out the week before Guild Wars 2 did. Oh, I wonder what that's about. That's pure circumstantial, not connected to any actual plan.
Yeah, I don't think it does matter to them. I mean, I can't know for certain, but definitely conventional gaming release calendars wisdom does not apply to Blizzard. Like, they release games right after Christmas. It's like the most ridiculous thing you would ever want to do. Like, right after everyone has bought everything they wanted to buy, they're like, yeah, whatever. Blizzard is one of those companies that just whenever it comes out, it sells. It doesn't matter. So, and regarding targeting dates for competitors, those things are set way in advance, and they have to do with, you know, the development schedule is really planned week by week. Like when you put it out on the PTR, you need to have 2 months on the PTR or whatever for a patch or something. And then it has like 1 week of study for whatever. It's like they can't move it around very easily, I don't think. So when you have a studio that plans a release date a year in advance, maybe that can work. But for Blizzard, they decide like when it's going to be released roughly 3 months in advance. And then by that point, everything's been announced anyway. Mm. So yeah, I don't think like now for this expansion, it's like 4 months, which is relatively long for Blizzard. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so 4 months, everything's been set. Like the release dates for other games we're getting now are they've been announced a few weeks ago already. And it's for September, October, November. So
now that you've said the words, Garrett, does 4 months sound crazy to you? Like 4 months is nothing. It's nothing.
If I think age plays a big role in this, it doesn't seem like it now. I think when I was in college and my life was World of Warcraft, it should have been college, but it wasn't. It was World of Warcraft. 4 months would have sounded like an eternity because yeah. I would have still been putting probably at least 4 hours a day into the game, and I would probably be very bored with the state of the game right now because we would have had raid on farm. It probably would have felt like a lifetime. But yeah, right now we're it's busy, and I also have Hearthstone and Heroes of the Storm and other things. Yeah. It seems like it's right around the corner.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's an age thing, but it's also like an embarrassment of riches kind of problem. Like there's just so much cool stuff to be messing around within Blizzard and without. So when you hear 4 months, you're like, oh my gosh, that's so soon. Am I even going to be done with Ni No Kuni 2 and these three other games I want to play by then? And you're like, because I am in that mode right now. I'm in that kind of, all right, I'm good until the expansion. I don't need to raid every other night. I don't need to be in there knocking out, you know, my freaking crap.
I have the lamest WoW stories right now because all I'm doing is when I'm bored, I'm logging in and just slowly plinking away at finally getting Draenor flying. And it's awful. I don't know why I'm doing it to myself, but
part of me admires that, though. Part of me admires that. I'm like, I never did it either, and I didn't want to because it was boring and lame, and I don't like that grind. And now I'm
one-shotting everything, and I'm still like, I don't want to do this, but I need to fly.
In Draenor, not even
in Draenor. Yeah, Draenor. Oh yeah, I've been able to fly in Legion for a very long time now.
Yeah, I just the flying gating, I hate it.
I love doing it. I came back for Draenor like a few months before. What's the current expansion? Legion. Before Legion came out, and I did all of that grind. I really enjoyed it, and yeah. I'm really looking forward to coming back when we get the pre-patches for Battle for Azeroth and doing some stuff there.
Oh sure.
Something like the summer, I think, is kind of becoming my, oh yeah, I can play WoW time.
Yeah.
Because there isn't a huge amount of other things.
I agree. It's just such a weird, gaming's weird right now. The whole gaming world is so strange compared to what it was in 2004 when this game launched. And I think it'd be fun to go back and kind of chronicle that. Like, what was the big deal in 04? Well, you had the Nintendo DS. That was a thing. And you had, you know, like, there was things. Certainly there were things, right? But there wasn't today. It's insane today. You know,
when was Half-Life 2?
That was 2004.
2004.
Oh, was it 2004?
Yeah, but you didn't have Steam. There was
my 2004 was an insane year. It was World of Warcraft, Doom 3, Half-Life 2, San Andreas, Fable, Halo 2, and Far Cry.
Yeah. I mean, they were okay. That was an okay year. It's not to say it wasn't an okay year, but you didn't also have Steam, GOG, and 1,000 other things going, hey, look at all these $15 experiences we're going to waste your time with. Like,
I mean,
it's just such a different
time. The AAA that we talk about this all the time on our general gaming shows, like the amount of game of the years that come out, there's basically one game of the year that everyone needs to play that comes out every month or two.
Yeah.
And that's been the case for like the past 2 or 3 years, and this year is no exception. Wow, I don't think WoW could exist today as it did in 2004 because people are pulled in 15 different directions when, yeah, it was a great year in 2004 and WoW sort of, you know, came out at the end of the year and then took off the year after that.
Right.
but you had time to, like, your video game life was one game usually with a few distractions here and there. Now it's a lot more difficult to do that. Yeah. I don't think WoW could know the success it did back then today because just of the gaming landscape.
I think that's probably true. I mean, there are definitely people hearing this right now going, whatever, man, all I play is WoW. That's all I've ever played, and that's all I ever will play. I get that. There's the Madden people of the year, of the world, who just buy Madden once a year or Call of Duty once a year, and that's...
Yeah, but we don't talk to them.
We don't talk to those people.
I don't know anyone like that. Even my sports-inclined friends are not that way.
Yeah.
You know the cliques in high school that you guys have in America?
Oh, I yeah, like you guys don't have your own little groups. Come on.
We don't have them like that. I mean,
this group likes stinky cheese. This group likes a more sweet, kind of less aromatic cheese. You had your groups.
Yeah, but we talk to each other.
Oh, all right.
We enjoy each other's company.
Right.
I feel like the people who play Madden, you know, there are people who buy two video games a year, and they're normal people. They're not like us crazy gamers.
Yeah.
But I feel like a certain amount of contempt, almost like we're the cool crowd or the jocks. Yeah, let's be the jocks, and they're the geeks. Mm-hmm. And I understand how that sounds since we're really the geeks, but I don't know. It feels like those people we shouldn't really hang out with.
No, they're bad for us and should be ashamed of themselves. No, that's not true. Everybody should have all the things they want to have, including BlizzCon dates. What? Well, looky here, everybody. If you're going to BlizzCon, I got some good news for you. They have dates now. The 2nd and 3rd of November, 2018. That is exactly the same as last year, if I'm not... wrong. I might be wrong because we traveled on Halloween.
It was the 3rd and 4th, I think, just because of the way the Friday Saturday shook out last year.
Gotcha. Okay.
The first possible weekend in November again.
Ironically, last time I went on Halloween because I had to be there early, and maybe they'll have us do it again. I don't know. We haven't been asked yet. But if we end up doing some kind of panel thing, we're traveling. And well, either way, I'm already traveling. We've got tickets already because I'm try to do this stuff early. And we're traveling on Halloween again. So that'll be fun. I didn't like that last year. I didn't like traveling on Halloween. It's weird not having Halloween is what I'm trying to say.
My flight got bumped one day, and we were excited about that for a reason. Nobody cares but me, but that's also our anniversary. So we got to not spend our anniversary on an airplane.
That's adorable, though. What you guys should do is have a little impromptu ring ceremony on the plane. Just everyone stand up and say, to commemorate our marriage... Does anyone here a preacher and or a public a justice of the peace, and then just do a little a little run through there? That'd be all right. And
hopefully they stand up and they're in costume.
Yeah, or they got BlizzCon t-shirts on because they're all going where you're going. But anyway, that's happening. It's the second and the third. That's a Friday and Saturday for all those people who keep stoking rumors every year that they're going to move to a third day. Sorry, not happening yet.
You're the only one stoking that rumor, Scott.
There are a lot of people I heard from this previous to this announcement this year who were all going, dude, you think you're going to go third day this year? You think this is the year?
Were they saying they're going to, or were they saying, please God, add one because I'm exhausted?
Maybe. I mean, we all use, well, I don't. Usually I fly someday.
I don't think I would want a third day. I think it wouldn't be less stuff to do. It would be another day, an extra day of just as much stuff to do.
Yeah, that's kind of my thinking.
I'm not sure it would go the way you
think. That's my thinking. People already use Sunday often as a way to, they're going to Disney or they do other little get-togethers and group ups and stuff. I'm all about giving it some breathing room. The problem I have with BlizzCon is not the time limit. It's that my role while there is so sporadic that I don't actually hear what's happening until I get home almost. Like we get the fundamentals and we do live shows there and we talk about them as friends and all that other stuff, but people at home and those who are attending it that are going to every panel they can go to, they're at least getting the content. And I'm just running it down a hall and somebody goes, hey, did you hear Hearthstone did a thing? Oh, no, I wasn't in there. I was in the other thing. Okay, cool. See you later. And then I spend, half my time upstairs with interviews and then a chunk of time down in the hall where I'm not seeing the panel. So I don't know what's happening till I get home half the time.
God, that hallway experience that you were describing is... so realistic. Is it weird? It makes me think of when I was in high school, and I'm the youngest one here, but even when I was in high school, we didn't have phones all the time. So it reminds me of that.
Yeah.
When you're not connected all the time, and you literally have to hear from your friend that, oh my God, did you hear in Halo 2 you don't play as Chief all the time? That was a thing that someone yelled at me in a hallway when I was in high school.
Sure, sure.
That's what BlizzCon feels like, because I'm running between a million different things that I don't actually know what just got announced.
It's also a great window into how young you are, because you're hearing about Halo 2 in high school. Oh my gosh, such a baby, such a tiny
baby.
You know
what the funny thing is?
Yeah.
You know what the funny thing is about us not knowing what's happening at BlizzCon and what they announced and the details of the announcements?
Yeah.
The funny thing is, we actually record all our shows there and have to pretend like we know.
I know.
But we actually have no idea. We're like, oh, those Warfronts, they sure sound cool. Right. Well, to be fair, Warfronts, no one knew what they were going to be at this time. But
you want to know how that sausage is made? We literally, 5 minutes before it do that, we have one of these and we're going through on like Hearthstone and MMO Champion being like, okay, what can announce? Who's doing our job for us?
We do the exact same thing, like leading up to what usually it's a Saturday or something. Although because we did the panel, we kind of called that our thing. And I kind of liked that because that was Saturday morning. You only had the Friday announcements. It was like a more easily digestible thing. If they have us do it again, I would not turn it down because I kind of liked that, even though more would come out later. And, you know, but we had a chance to sort of collect ourselves, get home, discuss it, talk about it, and put it out there. It's hard. So boohoo on us. I know everyone's like, oh, freaking boohoo. You get access to devs and you get to go upstairs in the press area and the food's really good up there and all that. I know. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying a third day might. Actually, I'm kind of with Patrick. A third day might kill us. We might actually perish.
The more I think about it, like, I think it would be really fun from just like an attending the con standpoint. But I don't know. I kind of like that if you go a day early that Thursday beforehand with all of the community events, that's kind of the third day. And you get to spend more time talking to the people you want to talk to as opposed to sprinting down hallways.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, and that's what we'll do this year. Same thing. Thursday is huge community day. It's all the parties, the, you know, the Blizzard shindigs, all that stuff. So it'll be
I don't really want to lose that. So,
yeah.
I mean,
I don't know if I'm going to go.
You know, listen, new father, listen. Maybe you will, maybe you won't, but never say never. Don't say it now. I'm just imagine my virtual finger pressing to your virtual lips and making you shush.
Don't. This is what you do. You hand sew a Murloc costume for your newborn. You bring your newborn with you, and you win BlizzCon by bringing your brand new little baby dressed as a Murloc.
Yeah,
we were talking about coming with my wife and the baby. That was before I realized what baby were, but what babies
what
were.
A baby is.
Yeah, it's like, oh, so that's how it actually happens.
Well,
all right,
he'll be older.
Maybe no BlizzCon then.
He'll be older, wiser. You know, he'll father. Why don't you go to your panels? I'll stay here in Hall H and watch the thing. Yeah, I'm sure it'll be just like that.
Why is that would this? Be awesome.
I don't know why.
He talk like a British butler.
I don't know.
Is he raising
his fancy? All right, he's my baby. He's gonna be fancy.
He will be fancy. Guaranteed. Guaranteed.
He kind of started trying to like grab things, but not really. He's like moving his hands, which is the first step. And immediately, what I thought was, ooh. That's the beginning of him being able to hold a controller. Yeah. Awesome. So maybe. You know, you never
that stuff come. Man. The stuff comes younger and younger, dude. Like now they got these touch screen phones. They dive in sooner. Then they want controllers. Then they want consoles. Then they want their own PC. Now I've got a house. I got a house with, let's see, 3 or 4 PCs. I didn't buy them even. The kids got their own rigs. Nick built his. And they're playing Overwatch like every other night. They're playing Fortnite when they're not playing Overwatch. Like, I wasn't doing this sort of cool stuff when I was Nick's age. They didn't have it. I had to go to my friend's house and use his shitty Intellivision. That thing was a nightmare. Anyway.
How old is Nick? Okay, never mind. Let's not go into
He's 17, but I'm just saying, like, at 17, my dad was not letting me touch the Apple II because he thought I was going to wear out the freaking Pong knob thing that we had for it. And he was like, that'll break. You can't mess with that. It's going to break. Like, he was so picky about that. Then again, we had arcade machines in the house. That's a long story. Anyway, we don't have to get into that. But here's what I'm going to say about BlizzCon tickets. If you want yours, the first day of selling tickets will be May 9th, 7 p.m. Pacific time. So that's 9 p.m. your time, Garrett, followed by a second batch at 10 a.m. Pacific time on May 12th. They've split it into two like they always do. Tickets are $199 each plus taxes and fees. I don't think that's changed. I think that's the same as last year, right? Worth
it, $200. I think it's the same, but I remember when it was $100 in the beginning.
Yeah.
Back in my day, it was $100.
Back in 08.
It was just Mike Morheim on a podium.
Basically, that's what it was. It's 10 years old, right? BlizzCon, it's more than 10 years old.
Yeah.
There are people. I don't even. Okay, enough back in my day shit for today.
Back in my day, like 08, those heady days of 2008. Although, I guess that is a while
ago.
No,
I was going to say. You know, in 2006 was the first BlizzCon, I think.
Yeah.
There are kids that are going to go who are like in college today who were what, like 10 years old when the first BlizzCon happened?
Yeah, because it was 10 years ago. Yeah. Well, more than 10.
More.
Yeah. More it was 12 years ago.
That's... They were like 8 or 7. What are they?
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Right. I don't like it either. Yeah. I feel somehow like this is a reflection of my own mortality.
Patrick, we were barely out of our 20s when we started hanging out on this show, and you were sending in segments, and I was recording this thing for the first time and back in 2006. Like, I don't want to think about this anymore.
You're gonna, because you know where I was?
High
school!
You know
where I was? I was a freshman in college.
Oh, all right, that's better than
I went
school.
Over to my buddy's house to play some World of Warcraft in the same room with him like a weirdo, and he comes to me and he goes, hey, have you heard of this thing called a podcast? As if it was an infomercial for podcasts. And I said, no, what is this thing called a podcast? And he turns on this thing called The Instance, and I listen to two men talk about the openings of the gates of Encourage.
Men. We were men, see?
Two older men.
Yeah.
Yes.
Me and Andrew. Wow, that is a long time ago.
Yeah.
But today, or this year, we'll get to celebrate once again our declining years as we all go to BlizzCon. By the way, you can only get 4 per order, so they've locked that in again. You can't go crazy and eBay the hell out of these. Or you can't eBay them at all, I guess, because it's all account-based now. Anyway, you have until July 20th to edit the information on your tickets. The benefit dinner, if you're into that sort of thing, will be Thursday, November 1st, and tickets for that are $750. I think that is more than it used to be. I'm not sure what it used to be, but I'm pretty sure that number's higher.
Actually, I think that's what it was last year.
Was it last year? Okay. I thought it was higher.
It is rather pricey. I have talked to people who have went, though, and I've never heard anything other than it's incredible. And if you have the money, not only does it go to a good cause, but you should go.
Seems like a cool thing to go to.
Really? How is it incredible? It's just like rubbing elbows with like the execs.
Well, yeah, like everyone you could ever kind of hope to talk to at Blizzard. Like if you're a fan, if you grew up with these games, they're there, and it's so much more casual and more accessible than being within the con itself when these devs are running between stage to stage.
Sure.
I guess, but it would still feel a bit awkward. I feel like you go there and you're like, oh, I'm going to talk to all the devs, and you're like, hey, Ian, I really like what you did with Legion, and like the campaigns are cool.
I disagree. I think there's a certain amount of money that when you spend it, you no longer feel awkward. And I think $750 is that amount of money. It's like, I spent this money. I am going to awkwardly accost you at the fondue table.
Yeah, I mean, it's a chunk of change. You know, but I just hearing Patrick, I have this image of him going, Mr. Hazzacostas? I was wondering, like that thing that the Terpster always does, that voice of like the nerd at a con. When are we going to get our moose?
Actually, last year I was after like the first or second day, I was at a party with a few Blizzard friends, like in one of the hotel rooms.
Fancy.
And Ian showed up, and I was like, I don't know if he's going to remember me or not, because we did a press tour together.
Was it the train one in Germany that was so terrible?
No, it wasn't. Okay. I think if it was on the train, he would remember.
Oh.
But no, it was a Gamescom, and he was lead encounter designer for Rage or something like that. It was a while ago. And so we spend a little bit of time together, but it's not, you know, he sees a lot of people on those trips. And he showed up among, you know, many other Blizzard people. And I was like, looking at him, wondering if he would remember me. Clearly he didn't. And it felt incredibly awkward because I think he noticed me looking at him, thinking I was some kind of crazy fan. And he, I'm pretty sure, purposefully avoided being too close to me to not have those awkward conversations, which I felt incredibly awkward and bad about. But, you know,
it's because you're French. You're French. French people make us nervous here in America.
I'm used to it. Yeah. I'm used to it. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. He almost was at Nerdtacular last year. That would have been really cool. He didn't make it in the end because there were legion things to do, but that would have been really nice. And then it would have been him and Greg on the same stage. And I always have it in my head that there's like a secret fight going on with Greg and all the old devs. I know that's not true. Greg listens to the show still. So, hey, Greg, we even heard him at the top of the thing, but it was over at Riot now, but I know this. None of this is true, but I just always want it in my head to have some kind of weird, like, Greg left and there's still bad blood. And there was never bad blood. I know this. I just want to, I have it in my head to have this little war, and I'm going to keep going in my own head, though. I'm not going to, there's no rumors. Nobody needs to assume anything. I just think it'd be cool. You know, 100 devs enter, one leaves, Battle Royale style. That's how I see it.
I would like to say, Greg, if you're listening, since you left, I have to say, my paladin feels a lot less targeted.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Feeling the direct effects of Ghostcrawler leaving Blizzard. Man.
I actually miss that man like crazy.
Yeah, he's great. He was a great voice. Well, he still is. I mean, if you follow him on social media, he's always bringing up WoW stuff just because, you know, people ask him all the time still. Dude left a mark, man, for sure. And also, every time I play Age of Empires 2, I think of Greg because he was on that team as well. What else? Okay, so that's that. Oh, Community Night is undergoing some changes for BlizzCon, and we don't know what that is exactly, I don't think, but we know there's still a costume contest. But I don't know if you guys remember, last year and maybe even the year before, and maybe even for a while now, it seems like the community has been really hard on whoever's hosting that. They get somebody who's popular, TV personality, comedian, whatever. They bring them out there. They don't necessarily, they've been briefed, but they don't necessarily follow every nook and cranny of what Blizzard does. And then you have this audience of thousands of people who do. And then they're expected to get up there. This guy last year from the Silicon Valley guy got up
there. No, that was 2 years ago. Last year was Hardwick.
Oh, it was Hardwick? No.
Yeah, Hardwick returned last year.
Was it really Hardwick last year?
Yeah.
Oh, because he got...
Silicon Valley gentleman whose name is eluding me at the moment was 2016.
Okay, you're right. What I'm thinking of... The reason I forgot... Well, so anyway, long story short, Hardwick does better because I think he knows a little more on that stuff. But the crowd...
I mean, I have like a pretty raging man crush on Hardwick, so he can do no wrong in my eyes.
Sure, sure. And it's all coming out now, everybody. Garrett has a thing for...
Oh, no, this is well documented.
There's a whole wiki somewhere that we can read. But they always give so much shit to these guys. It's just kind of terrible. And usually it's the ones who come in a little bit more naive to it, like the Silicon Valley guy. I think Jay Moore weathered it for a few years, but he took a lot of heat. And it's just things like, oh, what's this? A guy with a sword. And the audience can't stand the idea that they don't know that that's Varian Wrynn or whatever. And so... I think they're changing all this stuff to be less of a pain on whoever's doing that hosting. And maybe it's Hardwick again and he doesn't care. I don't know. But they
maybe
are changing.
Maybe they're going to hire people who know.
Maybe.
All of that.
Maybe.
Stuff.
I mean, at this point, it feels like there is enough people to choose from within our own damn community.
Yeah. It'll be
good
some.
Good enough at it at this point. I mean.
It's probably some streamer or somebody's going to get picked, or they're going to do like Patrick Beja. Have you heard of that guy? He's a wiener. He'll be up there.
Oh, yeah, man. I can't stand it when he gets up and he says, look at that guy with the sword.
It's the worst guy with the sword
now,
and everything.
You know, the thing that is that they can't really afford me. they've asked a few times.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. Apparently, my fees are a little bit high. I should say they're a little bit cheap.
Oh.
That's
why. Oh, is that what's going on?
I heard it was your writer. It was too many specific stinky cheeses that were required to be in your green room. And they just they weren't having it.
Yeah, not
well,
having it.
I was disappointed that they wouldn't go the little small extra mile that I was very reasonably demanding for my appearance. works.
I see how it works. But anyway, who knows? I don't know who it'll be, but we'll see. We'll find out later. We don't know who the band is. We don't know any of that other stuff, but that's BlizzCon as we know it so far, happening in 2018. Get your butts out there and go for it. Also, by the way, so we ended up with Hilton tickets because usually they're way expensive. And for some reason this early, they're not yet. So I don't know if that's true today, but I can tell you the last couple of days, if you got in there and snagged those, you're not paying those weird premiums that usually you associate with the Hilton hotel.
They're not as high as they usually are. It's still pretty high.
They're still expensive.
Still over $300 a night.
They're still expensive. No, we paid. Well, we're only getting a room. I don't think our kids are going this year. I think it's just Kim and I. And so I think they were under. Yeah, we didn't pay $300. We paid like two or something like
no
that.
No way.
We were shocked by that. So we were like, oh, yeah, lock it in.
The day it was announced, it was like $325 for a standard room.
Maybe she did some magic. I don't know. She Grouponed her way to life, or I don't know what happened there. But we got some deal, and it ended up being less than like surrounding hotels. So we were like,
yeah, the last couple of years, they were over $600 a night the first time I went to go check.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. My regular recommendation, do not enter the Hilton main floor men's room at any time Friday or Saturday night after 10 and before 4 a.m. Don't go in there. Don't go in there. It's the worst thing you'll ever witness in your life.
But Scott, what if I hypothetically didn't want to pay the beer prices and had beer in my handbag and wanted to go into the bathroom to remove it privately, and then
it depends on your overall resistance to post-traumatic stress disorder and your ability to see true atrocities and not have them haunt you the rest of your life. If you can handle that sort of thing, Bob's your uncle. Go for it.
Wonderful.
Yeah. All right. Mobile Auction House, that thing got canceled. They're not going to do it anymore. And we had a fair amount of feedback about this. In fact, later we have an email specifically about this. But we got some additional light shed on why its demise. I had thrown the theory out there last week or maybe the week before that the reason that they were ending the Auction House support was, or for mobile anyway, was they were going to kind of fold in all their mobile services into one master app to rule them all. And I still think they're probably working on something like that, because right now their various disparate apps feel weirdly disconnected, and I don't know why they have to be. They should be a little more connected. Like that one Battle.net app with all the social probably should have this other stuff in there as well. Kind of Steam style. Steam app works that way. Most social apps do. Sony, I know they have a couple of PlayStation things that are a little bit weird, so I don't know why they don't combine those. But anyway, that was my theory that I was floating. I'm not so sure anymore. This is what they said on the forum. Somebody had posted this. The most logical explanation is the costs is that it costs to keep it updated are not worth the relatively small number of people who use it. And the reply from the Blizzard Blue was basically this: the web mobile auction has a lot more issues with keeping it up than it is really worth for the small amount of players that actually use it. Trying to tackle and fix those issues for transparency, the majority were just exploits. Just takes devs' time away from working on new content. While it may change in the future, we currently at this time are not planning on bringing this back. So, just not enough people using it. I used it once and then never used it again. Patrick, you played the Auction House like a freaking, I don't know, you were like Michael Douglas in Wall Street. You were just like, yeah, I'm going in and look, we're up to the Dow Jones is up today. And you were freaking out all the time about your Auction House.
I'm a little bit more current. I was more like, a million gold isn't cool. You know what's cool? 2 million gold.
Yeah, and then that wasn't cool.
A billion is not. No, yeah, I used it on a regular basis, but it's never been. The big issue is that the Auction House is very difficult to use if you don't have add-ons. If you're serious about the Auction House, you're probably going to be doing heavy use of add-ons. You can go to the, and I'm sure some people do, you go to the mobile one or the web one. But all the serious auctioning is going to be done within the client. So I did use it a little bit here and there, but it was never, like, I'm not personally incredibly sorry to see it go. I'm not using the auction. I'm not auctioning a lot these days, but even when I was, I don't think I would have been, like, it would have been a tragedy to see it go.
Yeah. Garrett, you know, I mean, we talked about it a bunch last week, but it's no skin off your nose, right?
I've just never used it, so it doesn't personally affect me. Again, like I said, I have some friends who were pretty miffed that this is going away, and I feel for them, but this was never never a thing that was going to really personally affect my gameplay.
Maybe
I will say that this is the first time they've ever admitted that, hey, this one thing takes dev time away from the other, because I feel like usually it's the opposite of that when everyone on Reddit's complaining, like, oh, you put this thing into the game that I don't want when you should have been spending the dev time on this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
And Blizzard always gets in there and the reply is, listen, we're very segmented. This team wouldn't even be involved with that particular feature that you're requesting. So it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, maybe be careful what you admit to.
Yeah. No kidding. I mean, what that tells me is if something goes to Blizzard's bottom line and serves the games they make, they're more than happy to split dev attention across those and therefore make some late and some not, you know what I mean? Like kind of bog down perhaps the timing of things. But when something's not adding to their bottom line, like the mobile auction house, they're perfectly willing to admit that we don't want to split the attention of these devs. We'd rather have them working on new content. What they're really saying is we'd rather have them splitting their attention on things that are actually making us money. And that's fine. That's what they should do. It's the business, man. Welcome to the business.
I really think that very, very few people were using the mobile auction house, though.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, they're spending dev time on things that are not necessarily making them money, but just because, you know, they have a reputation to uphold and stuff like that. Like Diablo. Yes, they're not developing huge things, but they still have a team of devs doing stuff. They have StarCraft 2, which is an esport, so maybe it's a little bit different, but still, you know, they have teams doing all those things. I think the auction house is a case where, of course, you're always going to have some people, find some people that are unhappy about it because it was useful to them, but I really don't think in this case it's significant in any way.
Yeah, I think I agree. So there's that. No more toilet time auction house, everybody. Sorry. You got to find something else to do with your phone. Play Fortnite and get your ass handed to you. How about that? Hey, is WoW the biggest selling entertainment product of all time? There was a big argument this week. I couldn't help but bring this up today. Not a lot of in-game news going on that we haven't already covered, so some of this stuff's on the outside. But MarketWatch claimed that Grand Theft Auto V was the biggest selling entertainment product of all time. Movies, games, TV, you name it. Entertainment product of all time, best-selling, they said, was GTA V. And that surpassed things like Avatar, Star Wars, all your big pop culture things. However, this information is incorrect, as there is a PC-only game that has generated almost double that amount, and that is no other than World of Warcraft. MarketWatch stated GTA has earned more than $6 billion so far. On the other hand, Blizzard announced last year that World of Warcraft generated about $10 billion, and that was last year, so it doesn't count anything they've done for 2017, or maybe it means this year so far. Anyway, there's nothing more to add, really, than, yeah, World of Warcraft. You're the true leader here.
I think it's arguable because World of Warcraft is really, like, what, 6 titles now?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, each expansion, yeah, it's an expansion, but it's really a new game, kind of, almost. Whereas GTA 5, also, it sold on multiple consoles and people bought it on you know, probably many different versions of it. But it's still one game. So I think there could be some debate there. Because if you go into World of Warcraft, then you can start talking about franchises and arguably you could compare it to other things as well.
Sure.
Well, I mean, within the article linked here, there's now an update saying that...
Oh, yeah, look, an update! Hold on.
Space Invaders and Street Fighter 2, I believe, adjusted for inflation, are actually higher than WoW.
Yep.
Ah.
Sorry, that's the update music. Yes, it appears Space Invaders is now the best-selling entertainment product. This game relies on arcade sales. It's still considered an entertainment product as such. Space Invaders has earned more than GTA 5 or World of Warcraft. Space Invaders generated $13.93 billion, followed by Pac-Man at 12.8, Street Fighter at 10.6. So technically, if you don't count anything from this year, World of Warcraft is your... Was that 1, 2, 3, 4th highest grossing dealio ever?
That has to be adjusted for inflation.
It has to be. How could it not
no
be?
Way.
How much Space Invaders shit still, are we buying in 2018? None. No one's buying anything Space Invaders related. There's no way.
You know what's really funny?
What?
It shows you how much of an incredible racket, well, not racket, but moneymaker those arcade games were. And I always say this, but I hear people complaining about, business practices nowadays. And I mean, those games were designed to make you die after like 2 to 5 minutes so that you would put another quarter in. So I don't know. It's just the extent to which this made Space Invaders the biggest entertainment product in the world is, it just makes me laugh.
Yeah, I believe my buddy and I spent about $15 each beating House of the Dead 2 at our local bowling alley when we were kids. Well, we may have just sucked.
Oh my gosh, you guys, breaking news. House of the Dead 2, highest grossing, just kidding. It's not true.
Arcade cabinet on that day in our local bowling alley in Venice, Florida.
That's fantastic. That game was great, dude. I got no problem with what you were spending money on. I did that with Marble Madness. Put a lot of money into Marble Madness for some reason.
Oh, I used to play Gauntlet.
Yeah, Gauntlet was good.
We would go to the thing with all our friends and had our, well, it would be quarters for you guys, like on the table thing. And we kept putting them into the machine because we kept dying, obviously, because Gauntlet was crazy. Mm-hmm. Those were the
those
days.
Were
again
great.
With some back in my day stuff.
Yeah, Gauntlet, so, dude. Your Valkyrie needs food badly, they'd say. And it was always true. final little note about Warcraft-related things. Warcraft 3 finally got widescreen support for some reason. Probably because people have been demanding it. And also, I have a feeling that Warcraft 3 is probably going to get remastered treatment at some point in the way that StarCraft 2 did. And other Blizzard products seem to be rumored as to be getting. Anyway, Warcraft 3 is no longer locked at 4.3. You can now do 16.9. This is part of patch 1.29, pretty big update. Game's almost 16 years old, you guys, so still getting gameplay balances, widescreen support, and that may not sound like a huge deal to people, but if they, you know, they want to kind of revive interest in the Warcraft RTS world, then perhaps this is one way to do it. But yeah, Patrick no longer locked in at 4.3.
I can't imagine they're not going to do a remaster very soon. I mean, it's been rumored. They had this event a couple of months back where they invited a bunch of Warcraft 3 streamers and influencers. Are there Warcraft 3 influencers or streamers?
I don't know. Maybe if they... I mean, I know some people players. Would be considered that, but they all seem to move on to StarCraft, or now they're doing...
Yeah.
Who? The big one is Grubby, and he's a hero streamer now.
Oh, yeah. He's also heroes all the time now, that guy. He's great. Love him.
So that was probably to test out the remastered version, right? That's what we're guessing. And but it's cool.
Yeah, it is cool. And I have no problem with this. I mean, Garrett, you have roots in the RTS world. Do you have any interest in rediscovering Warcraft 3 or would you rather?
For me, this is the game that started my Blizzard obsession. So yes.
That's interesting.
So.
Okay. Because I figured it was StarCraft for you, but.
The first time I played StarCraft was on the N64, and it kept me off RTSs for almost a decade because it was so terrible.
It was a bad version. It was not a good version. I mean, they tried.
It was shite. They did their best. I didn't start playing Brood War until like middle of college. So it was like 07 for me because I finally had my own like gaming PC, and my roommates were playing a lot of Brood War. So I was like, I had already played a ton of Warcraft 3 at that point.
Sure.
So I was like, let me get back in and try this out. And then, like everyone else, just started massing carriers and moving them across the map.
Sure. What's funny is I played the hell out of Warcraft 3, and I'll tell you this. I was the worst person that could have ever predicted anything, because my least favorite feature of Warcraft 3 was hero units. Taking them out and getting XP from minions out like in little patches. Oh, here are three Murlocs. I got to kill them and get some gold and build my dude up. While my RTS stuff was happening back at camp, I'm out playing this weird RPG hybrid thing. And I didn't like that. I found it really annoying. It's literally the basis for one of the biggest, most important new genres to ever happen. That being MOBAs.
It's funny hearing that and calling it a new genre.
Well, yeah, now it's not a new genre anymore. But at the time, you know, no such thing. It was a mod. Dota was a mod for Warcraft 3, and it came out of those mechanics that I hated so much then. I would have been the last person on this planet that you should have come to and said, hey, what do you think about expanding on this idea of single hero units in an RTS and a bunch of towers and stuff? I would have said, F off, eat some dirt, pound sand.
Yeah, it's funny for me because I didn't know any better at the time. Like, I played a little Command & Conquer and a little StarCraft on N64 because I didn't have a computer that could run them, and it was terrible.
Yeah.
So I never went back. And then eventually, senior year of college actually would have been when WoW was coming out. I picked up Warcraft 3 and just fell in love. I didn't know you could tell a story like that in an RTS.
Yeah,
really grabbed me.
It's one of the best things ever made. It really is. That story was incredible. I mean, you know, it's the basis for everything we love about WoW. So
it's the story they should have told with the movie, and it probably would have done a lot better.
Interesting. Look at you throwing a little shade on 2016's mega hit in Warcraft.
Listen, the Warcraft film is like starting with the prequels. It was a poor decision.
I agree. I think the poor decision was Blizzard didn't just do an in-house deal with like Netflix Pictures or Amazon or somebody and just make some thing on their own.
I don't think their cinematic team is big enough. It would have taken like 30 years to make a feature length.
Maybe, but I'd take a 15-minute short film. I'd take anything from them. Like, you know, like just do it now with you got all your new tools for your work for whipping out Overwatch stuff. Blizzard, just make us some rad short shit. You know?
Rad short shit. I think we have the episode title.
Well, I know Patrick's right. They are making those. I get that. They're making these shorts and stuff. But I mean, like, imagine a series, man. Just like a 20-minute per episode, 12-episode run of the Overwatch. What's the thing they're running right now? What's the name of it? The Retribution.
Retribution?
Give us a Retribution story arc that's like 12 episodes long.
I really want that. I'm not sure how good they would be at serialized storytelling.
Well, we don't know, right?
Because they've never done it. For little snippets and little, you know, short things. Serialized, I would want to see it, but it's a job. It's an actual thing that you have to learn how to do. It's not just, I can write quests and so I can do that. I don't know.
They just hire somebody. It's, you know, they got money coming out of their buttholes.
It feels like there's a void with Metz and Gone of story.
Despite the fact that they've got Christy Golden in there now and they've got, you know,
why do you feel that way?
I feel the same way.
Because Overwatch has done nothing to tell a story. And what it has done has been, I think, like quarter measures. I wouldn't even go as far to say half measure in terms of building Overwatch's world. I'm still miffed about the canceled comic for one. I mean, we get little bit of comics here and there on the computer, but I want something I can actually dig into. I want to spend time in that world.
Mm-hmm.
But the focus is, it seems, purely on esports.
Yeah.
Listen, Garrett, you abandoned Overwatch. Okay. So you don't get to complain about it now.
That I did get to, because you know why I abandoned it? Because I wasn't getting what I wanted from it.
Oh, my snap. Well, I mean,
that's
look.
Not what you. What you told us. You told us you didn't enjoy the game, playing the game. So don't try
When there's nothing else to glean from it than the esports, if I'm not enjoying the competitive side of it, what else is there?
I listen, 100% kind of with both of you. I think the game rocks on its own. The game is really good and is awesome on its own, and I love it, and I'll just keep playing it. However, I would kill for some peripheral stuff.
So first of all, in the Retribution thing, I think there's a lot of storytelling. Ultimately, it's an event that has a lot of it, and including a short, little CG in-game thing.
Yeah.
But I'm still holding out hope for a more substantial storytelling-related stuff thing for Overwatch. I hope that they
cancel. So you agree?
Canceled.
You just wanted to talk smack.
Yes.
Good. Now the truth comes out. Thank you, Patrick.
I mean,
thank you. Blizzard,
see,
me to be right.
When Blizzard gets super into story, and it's not just a quick cinematic or an opener or something, which is always just like big shots and cool moments, they do it with either that podcast series of storytelling, or they do it with animatics, which they've said they're going to do for Battle for Azeroth, animatics, which I love that stuff. They're great, but I would like. I mean, they're telling story there, so give me that in like a big, meaty, freaking full-blown CGI, you know, cinematic level quality thing would be so great. Now, in the boardroom, that may not sound like a profit point for them, and it probably isn't. It's probably a huge bunch of cost for very little payoff, and Atomatics are that's a way better production pipeline. So I get that. There's a reason why not everything, you know, we only ever got one Hearthstone fully rendered cinematic style thing because they needed one thing to say, this is the game, get excited, here you go, mouse, girl, ogre, let's go, right? And then the rest of it has all been these cool animatics. And why? Well, because that's sensible from all sorts of reasons, especially financial reasons. So I know why they don't do it. I'm just saying I want it. That's all I'm saying. More. Yeah.
To me, this is, for me personally, like the where this is coming from is the PAX panel for Heroes of the Storm, when at the very end, in a very awkward fashion, they're like, hey, guys, lore is going to be important now. Yeah. There's a comic coming, and I'm like, oh, yay, you're going down the same not that exciting road as Overwatch.
Yeah, like, that bummed me out a little bit. I said this on Core. I was bummed about that. I feel like there's an opportunity there, especially with Deckard Cain coming in. He could be your point of lore. He could be your dude that unwraps and unfolds all of what's happening in the Nexus.
Yeah, Kyle brought up a good point, that which was, hey, like that's a PAX panel. It's more for the people in the room. It doesn't translate as well to a live stream. And I think he's kind of right. He talked me off a bit of a ledge with that.
Yeah, that's what he does.
Yeah, it's also hard, I guess. I kind of want to, like, let me know, folks. Write in on Twitter, because it's like the only game of theirs that's really consistently telling a story, and I think telling it well, is still World of Warcraft. And it has just gotten better the way that they tell their narrative in that MMO. And then Diablo and StarCraft, there's just nothing new there. So I wouldn't expect a new story there, I guess.
Yeah. Great stories there, but we're not getting a ton of new stuff. Although, I guess the StarCraft Commander missions are pretty, you know, they're lore-ish, but...
I think Overwatch still does an okay job at it.
Well, Overwatch does an incredible job at it in flashes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's what they do tell with very little is amazing. It's one of the things I think Overwatch is incredible at. It's like you look at Soldier 76 and you go... And you hear his voice once and you go, I know everything I need to know about that guy. And I love that tone and I love where he's from. And boy, what a complicated dude. And then you see somebody else like, I don't know, Moira come in and you go, yep, maniacal, science focused, maybe lost her way ethically. I mean, you get all that. You get it all by just looking at him. And that's an incredible feat. And then they add these the shorts and they do that too. But
it's not just that. Even in game, like even if you watch if you play the retribution mission multiple times, and it's the same in every map, you get the interactions between the different characters that tell you a lot about who they are and what they do and how they feel about one another and all of that. Granted, it's not, you know, I still want that Netflix series, sure. But I think they do a pretty good job. On which note, I unfortunately have to go take care of my baby. So I'm sorry.
I like that you tried to make it. I love how you made it sound like it was connected. Like, on that note, I want this Netflix series. On that note, my baby has a full diaper. I love it.
I have to go pretend to be an acceptably reasonable father.
I like it. That makes me proud of you as a man and also sad for you as a man. Either way, it's a good thing. Patrick, have a fantastic time. Not Patrick on Twitter.
Love
and
you all.
We'll see you soon. See you, buddy. All right. Now my screens are all jacked. That's okay.
Oh, yay.
It's all good.
That happens to me all the time.
I'm gonna just fix that, and we're going to go on as if nothing. See, there's Garrett. He looks great. Oh, let's get rid of this Patrick one, because that's a bad idea. All right. There you go. Good enough. anyway, so that's perfect timing, because I get to talk to you guys about our friends at Simple Contacts. Yeah, that's right. This episode of The Instance is brought to you by Simple Contacts. I wear contact lenses here and there. It's usually for outdoor stuff, but, you know, I need them. I got glasses otherwise, but it's always good to have a pair of contacts handy, and always find myself dreading that annual appointment to renew that prescription. Drives me crazy. That's why I was so excited to try Simple Contacts. Great new app. Makes the time-consuming prescription renewal process very, well, simple. Simple Contacts lets you renew your prescription and reorder your brand of lenses from anywhere in minutes. Simple Contacts brings the doctor's office to your home. The vision test is designed by doctors, and every test is carefully reviewed by a doctor. I took this test on the website. It was freaking easy. I used a webcam. It was insane. Simple Contacts offers an amazing selection with every brand of lenses, and their prices are hard to beat. Eye exam is just $20, and they offer free shipping. You know, please note this, the simple contacts vision test isn't really a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam, but getting your contacts renewed, boy, this couldn't be easier. And I love them. I've really enjoyed them. They've been great. I have a particular brand that I like, and they carry it. In fact, they carry every brand I think exists. That's the best part. You don't have to settle for some brand you don't like or whatever just to trade it for the convenience. You get the convenience and the brand you want. And they've been very easy to use and very easy to renew. So here's what I want you to do. To save $30 off your first pair, or sorry, your first Simple Contacts order, not even pair, your whole order, go to simplecontacts.com/wow and enter the promo code WOW at checkout. That's $30 off your first Simple Contacts order when you go to simplecontacts.com/WOW, and then you got to enter that promo code WOW, again, WOW, right there at checkout. Do it today. Now it's time to talk about stuff around Blizzard. Well, that music's appropriate this week, I'll tell you. Witchwood is out for Hearthstone. The entire expansion now at your fingertips if you'll but buy some packs or earn them and unlock them slowly over 1,000 years. I bought the big the bundle, the 20 pack or the 20 extra packs, 70 packs total for the better price thing, which was the only way you could pre-order it before. I did that, and then I don't know what I'm if I'm happy or sad to report that I've yet to open them.
Wait, what?
I know. They're all right there.
What?
I know. I could. You know what I should have done? I should have had it happening in the background during this episode. Just open them as we've been talking. Because I haven't touched them. I'm going to do it today. I've just been busy.
It's just been fun.
Stuff going on. But anyway, I know that you guys have had all sorts of pack openings and a very long tack and some other stuff.
We did four hours of Angry Chicken, and then I streamed for almost 4 hours yesterday with Jocelyn Dills.
I have a feeling that you guys are really into Hearthstone. That's the feeling I get.
Oh, maybe just a little bit.
So, any thoughts in retrospect with that? How do you feel about the overall launch and the cards you're getting and the decks you're playing and all that?
You will hear nothing from me in terms of. I don't think anything I could tell you would be helpful. Things seem very in flux, and last evening was into the Nexus night for me, so I didn't get to play as much as I would have liked to, so I don't really know what's good. I will say it seems like Shudderwalk is busted. Maybe needs to be adjusted for no other reason than animations can go up to 4 minutes in certain cases where you just watch the battle cries happen over and over again, and that seems unintended.
Wow. Okay.
But also, knowing how it works kind of perplexes me in that it's a surprise, because the card just repeats all the battle cries, and you can have a lot of battle cries go off over the course of the game.
Yeah, that was a much talked about card when they first showed it. So
but other than that, I mean, the game feels so different. It feels like a completely new game. The odd and even decks actually seem to have a little traction. Like, there seems to be something there that could possibly work.
Mm-hmm.
On both sides of it, I've tried both odd and even paladin. Both actually kind of function. I didn't expect that to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems so odd when you're building those decks, because there are key cards in every class that once you can only do odds or even, you're like, oh wait, I can't include this staple of the class for the entire lifetime of this game.
Right. Well, I guess it's going to, I mean, like it always does with these expansions, what's the typical expectation on time for things to kind of suss out the meta to settle some? I mean, some.
I would say within a week, we'll have a handle at least on what is considered pretty top tier decks. And within 2 weeks, it should be pretty good.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what's fun about Hearthstone, is I really do feel like within the first 2 weeks of an expansion, it starts to pretty much level out, but then something always pops up. Like every couple of weeks, a new archetype will pop up or a new deck. We'll figure it out. And that's just kind of the nature of the beast. Once something rises to the top, everyone then starts trying to craft ways to counter it.
Did you get the cards you wanted? Do you feel like anything?
I had exceptionally awful luck in my pack openings.
That's what I was going to ask, because I know that's usually me, so I'm happy to hear a pro like you is having trouble getting all the cards that you want.
Do not call me a pro. I've heard from a lot of folks who have had really good pack opening luck, so I don't think there's anything out of the norm going on. So the pity timer is 40 packs. If you haven't opened a legendary within 40 packs, you're guaranteed to get one.
Yeah.
If you pre-ordered, you're going to get one within your first 10. So taking that all into account, like the average is actually closer to 1 in 20, like one legendary in 20 packs.
Yeah.
I opened 250 packs, Scott.
Jeez.
Thank you. If you donated to my stream yesterday, thank you very much, because this is definitely the most packs I've ever opened at the start of an expansion.
That's and a I cannot lot, thank those dude. People enough. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Yeah. Let me let that sink in for a second. I don't want to think about what that costs. That's a lot of money.
About $150.
Oh my lord.
Oh wait, not including the pre-order.
Okay.
So about $200.
All right. Sure.
About $200.
Sure. Why not? Man.
Yeah, so I had 115 through the pre-order and the daily quest that gave you packs and my gold. That's what I started off with before anyone started being like, no, open more. And I got out of that, not including the free legendary when you log in and not including the one legendary I've crafted so far, which is Baku, I got 11 legendaries. And that's one in every like 23 packs, 22 packs on average. And so if one in 20 is average, I did just slightly worse than average across 250 packs.
How'd your co-host do? Any different?
Both Jocelyn and Dills opened double legendaries in a pack. Dills and I both got golden legendary Camellios, which is probably the coolest legendary in this entire set, so I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, that's good. And your time in the ladder proving to be like, I mean,
problematic.
Problematic. Interesting.
Problematic. Right. You have no idea what's going on.
I mean, are people just, I don't know, killing it? Like,
I've only played about 7 ladder games. A lot of yesterday was spent opening packs and building decks. But I ended up in 2 mirror matches, oddly enough, with Odd Hunter. I ended up playing in just a few games. I ended up playing other Odd Hunters who had very similar decks. So Odd Hunter seems to be quite popular because it makes your hero power do 3. So if you're doing 3 damage every turn, you just win eventually if they don't have healing. But I also ran into a lot of Warlocks. Like Warlock didn't lose a lot. Warlock now is pretty much the same as it was before the new standard year. And that's
unusual, that's right? Strange. Doesn't everybody get all upset? Every class usually has to kind of rethink the way they live and breathe.
Listen, I mean, overall, I could not be happier with this. Like, it does feel like a completely new game. If there is one thing I'm salty about, it's the fact that Void Lord or the ways to cheat out Void Lords and also Doom Guards and cube them and do too much damage in a single turn has not been addressed at all. Yeah. You can still do all of that. You can basically play the same Warlock deck. They lost a few cards, but not the key cards.
Yeah. Also, this is total side note, but I know you appreciate stuff from a graphic design artistic perspective the way I do. The card popping opening this particular pack design is super rad and very satisfying.
Wait until so when you open packs, Scott, you haven't opened packs yet.
No.
How do you typically do it? Because I feel like most people, they open it and they hover over all of them to see if they've got any glows, and then they turn over the non-glowing cards first and then move their way to the glowing
cards.
That's
usually what I do, yes. Usually.
Okay. All right, here's a fun thing about the card pack opening animation. It is beautiful.
Yeah.
There's a ton of blue smoke at the end of it. So you can't see your rares until the smoke is fully dissipated.
All right. Well,
so my pack opening went a lot slower than usual.
Well, and plus 250, did you say? Is that how many?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's a lot, dude.
It is a lot of packs.
I'm super impressed.
Expecting my viewers to be that kind. I really can't thank them enough.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I'll be opening mine later today, probably on stream, and it'll be great because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So come on by and watch me do that dumb stuff. It'll be great. In Heroes of the Storm, Devs put out a big post addressing just about every single Reddit post ever that's currently voted up on Reddit or on the Heroes Reddit page. Seemed like a new level of transparency coming out of this. Seems like that's what they're aiming for. Also, Deckard Cain likely to hit PTR next week. But I would encourage people to go read that post. It's an interesting, almost point for point addressing of issues people still have with whether it be matchmaking, frequency of patches, character balance, this kind of stuff. If you're into that sort of thing, go check that out. Also, we covered it in huge detail on Core. I'm sure Into the Nexus did similar. Plenty of information out there about what's going on with that. I would ask you, though, do you think that, I mean, how do you feel about that post in terms of, like, just sort of raw, like, do you buy it? Do you buy that they want to move to a more transparent sort of let us know as they go kind of, you know, communication level, more of a Jeff Kaplan facing, front-facing thing with the community, or do you not buy it?
I time will tell.
Is
my answer. I think they need to. I think the way that games are developed nowadays, it doesn't really leave much room for any other direction, even within their own company. As you mentioned, Jeff Kaplan, I mean, Overwatch does a phenomenal job with it. And I think for a while, Heroes was doing a great job of it. But it's been pretty on and off, I think, in my opinion, ever since Browder left.
Yeah. Yeah.
When Browder was there, it was really good. But you didn't see a lot of, I don't know, a lot of guests, like, it, like, at least from the podcast side of things. It feels like when Browder was there, we weren't getting dev interviews or stuff like that. After Browder left, we did, but the in-between talk seemed to ebb and flow. Like 2.0, like a year ago, around this time, 2.0 released.
Yeah.
And they were on fire.
Yeah.
Like, they were really good about talking to us about what they're dealing with. We had to deal with Hanamura, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone was not happy with that battleground, and they took action very quickly.
Still, that thing's still in the back garage getting worked on. Who knows what they're doing to that damn thing?
Yeah, supposedly it should be coming back pretty soon. I want to say they announced that.
Did they say
one payload? Oh. And you're going to have to fight over it.
Oh, yeah, I did hear. Yeah, I remember hearing about that. It seems like it just feels like it's been forever, like the longest time on reworking that thing. But maybe it's about the same as they did for the gravekeeper guy thing. What's it called? Yeah. Minds of whatever.
Yeah, on the flip side, I mean, a lot of the complaints on the subreddit that led to this post. I mean, one of the common threads between all of the complaints were basically Phoenix, like, and how long it's taken them to balance him. And I'm just like, guys, it's been 2 weeks. Here's a patch. This is how long it usually takes. I don't know why everyone's so angry.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. I mean, I'll gladly wait. It's just funny because I have that. You got one of these too, but we got these cool Hanamura prints, like kind of landscape prints of art of the Hanamura.
Yeah, we got a loot chest.
Yeah, and the print, what was cool about it is they're numbered and they're signed by the artist, and I still have mine over on the wall as well. And that print is so cool, and I was so excited about it when I got it. My wife secretly went off, snuck out, and got it framed, and really nicely framed and matted and everything. And I have it over there hanging up, but every time I look at it, I just feel a little sad because the map's not even in the damn game. You know what I mean? Like, it's this weird, sad stepchild thing that happened after the hype cooled down and just kind of bums me out. But anyway, the point is they'll work that out. I like the idea of more transparency. You're right. It is weird. When Browder left, it became less top-down communicative, but we got way better community communication. Like, the community team ramped up, and they've been awesome. Like, I love working with those guys now. But it kind of slowed down from the top. So hopefully from the top, we'll get more from DeBerry, more from the lead devs. And
oh, yeah, I do not have enough nice things to say about Heroes community team.
They're the best. Freaking Lashes alone. Here, let me tip my water cup to her, my Spider-Man Homecoming 7-7-2017 cup. This is for you, Lashes. She used to be an Instance fan, so we kind of have that going.
Yeah. Yeah, they treat us real well over there.
Why does it feel like everybody I know listened to the Instance in 2006, and I thought nobody was listening to us then. But everybody I talk to now, Garrett comes in here, oh yeah, I was in college, and Patrick's like, oh, I found it on that. Like, it's weird to me. I don't know why I bring this up. It's just weird to me.
I was sitting there drawing naked people in art school with you and Andrew in my head.
Yeah, well, that's good. Because that would keep you from getting too excited about the naked people, right?
I was rendering a wiener.
Mm.
I was listening to the Instance.
Well, all right. I used to have a great naked line. Is this it?
Naked.
No, that's not it.
Hold on. Ooh,
that's a ridiculous figure.
No.
But he's definitely naked. No. He's definitely naked.
Yeah. He's definitely naked.
No. I can't find the one. I have one that says we see naked people, and I was going to apply it to you. But anyway.
I'll take the Bryans talking about people being definitely naked.
Here, real tiny little art comment at the end of this. Life drawing classes, drawing naked people. Easily the most influential art class I ever took, like, changed my entire career art wise. I'm curious if you felt the same or if you thought that was just another blip along the way. I mean, I know you
that
were more
in landscape class, like life drawing, whatever it was, because we had to do it basically every day.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was so much the the subject matter, it was just doing the same thing over and over to the point where it really taught you just to keep doing the same thing over and over to get better at it.
Yeah.
And to at a certain, it's funny because on Angry Chicken, when everyone asks, how do I hit legend? Like the advice that Dills gave after the first time he hit legend, and the advice that he still gives is just play games, get your head out of win loss, just play 15 games a day. And as long as you do that, you will get there. And I feel like you can apply that to any craft, really.
Yeah.
If you just do it every day, if you take your mind out of your own self-judgment, self-critique, you're going to improve.
Yeah, for sure. I got more out of that class than any other art class of any kind I ever took, and I still rely on principles I learned then today.
I miss it. It was I always scheduled it in the morning. It would be the first thing I'd do. I'd show up to campus, get in, and start, you know, doing either life drawing or get out the landscape class. And it was just, I wish I could start my day that way.
I know, dude. It's a great way to do it. So I started drawing in the morning here recently. In fact, so chat room, you guys can see this. This is a picture of Deckard Cain I drew. Oh shoot, it's not showing up the way I want it to.
Well, if we're just gonna like be art nerds for a minute, that Deckard Cain drawing you did, Scott, that has got to be my favorite work of yours in a very long time.
Whoa, look at that! That's very nice of you to say that. That's high praise. I'm very proud of it, and I'm gonna make a better version of it for the chat here, so you guys can see this. But the point is, the reason I'm showing you this is life drawing taught me how to draw faces and like especially old people. Like hard edge noses and deep cheekbones and like none. I didn't have any of those like core skill sets that I could build on, even in my more stylized sort of cartoon style that I prefer. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any of that until life drawing, like straight up.
You gotta learn the rules so you can break them.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Learn the rules and then break the rules. We're not talking about the law, everybody. Okay, don't go find out all about cocaine laws and then go buy some cocaine. We're not saying that.
Well, hypothetically, it'd probably make you better at crime.
Well, anyway, that was a fun little detour. And now, how about this?
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
All right, it is the town crier, and we are going to read an email from a listener named Bovine. He's a bovine arch druid. That means he's a freaking druid or a tauren. I screwed that up. His real name is Niuli, something like that. He sent us an email at theinstance@gmail.com. Like people do, you are encouraged to do it as well. We'll read him right here on the show. And he says this: greetings. I'm bummed over the loss of the auction house functionality from the WoW Armory app on my phone. Bathrooms will be so boring. Plus, the interface on the phone is way better than in-game and even the add-ons that are available. I have an idea for the fine folks at Blizzard to keep it going without it being a loss leader and not having such a sad group of auction junkies. How big is that group is the problem. Anyway, idea. Here's his idea. In order for users to access the in-game auction functionality on the app, they are charged 99 cents a month, or if desired, users may use a WoW token for 1 year's worth of access. In addition, give those who sign up a title like something like Tycoon of Azeroth or Master of the Auction Administrator or something like that. He also likes Coroner of the Market. Cornerer of the Market. I actually kind of hate that one, so don't use that one. Anyway, I would cheerfully pay. Your thoughts? Okay, so that's an interesting take. Why not charge us if you're worried about it being a loss leader? And my answer to that is maybe the number's so much lower than we think that even that wouldn't be enough.
That is exactly what I was going to say, is that what if there's, even once you start charging, just not enough people to keep it going?
Yeah, which sucks. I agree with you, Niuli. It'd be great if it just hung around. But yeah, I think that's the problem. It's one or two of you, not one or 200 of you, or maybe it's more, maybe it's one or 200, but it's not one or 2,000. So who knows what their threshold is. I'm sure whatever that threshold is there, here's one thing. Why don't they just, instead of shutting it down, why don't they just let it go until some phone update kills it? But just let it be. Like, why do we have to undo it? And is it exploits and stuff like that? Like, if you're not
managed, I think it's the exploits. I mean, that's in the quote from earlier. Yeah. I don't think we actually got into it because we were laughing too much about baby poop with Patrick. But they mentioned, like, listen, like, a lot of the work is just exploits, and if you can exploit World of Warcraft through the app, that's a problem that needs to be addressed.
Zach in the chat reminds me, I completely forgot about this. They did charge for the Armory app in the beginning. Remember that? It was $3 a month.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
Because I didn't use it for the longest time because I was like, I don't care that much.
It was a huge controversy. I don't know how I forgot that. That kind of came and went. And then when they got rid of it, I was like, good riddance. And then I never thought about it again. But yeah, they used to charge.
It didn't bother me at the time because it was something we didn't have, and now we have it, and you can pay for it. I'm like, I don't care. It's not like it was free before, and then they started charging for it.
I would love to see numbers on how many people use the Legion app during Legion's run, or before that, the Warlords app. I guess that's now just the World of Warcraft app or whatever, but it's the one that lets you go in and send your followers off doing jobs and.
It's great. I should use it more. I always forget about it, and my other WoW friends who. When I say something like, yeah, I don't really do the follower missions that much, like, why aren't you using the app? You could be making so much more gold.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? But he did make the comment in this email about how the add-ons currently available plugins for using the auction house aren't as cool or aren't as efficient as the one that's built into this app. And I don't use the auction house enough to say whether that's the case or not, but it seems like what usually happens when something like this goes away, the community compensates in some other way, and it'll probably happen.
Yeah, I tend to play the auction house a lot in the first 2 months of an expansion, and then I never really return. I kind of make like my first 100,000 gold, and I'm just like, this will be fine. I will never need to worry about gold for the rest of this expansion.
Yeah, that's about what I do, and it's usually gathering. Like, I'll just get a crap ton of leather and sell it for tons of money.
Usually, whatever tune I go with first, I'll just pick up mining and herbalism.
Yeah,
and I just start. Selling mats.
Yeah, because nobody else wants to gather, but I do. I don't like professions. I hate them. Actually, I'm kind of looking forward to this new, what they're doing. The changes they're doing here are interesting to me. They're kind of per expansion. That's interesting to me more than it ever has been in the past, but I don't like professions. So for me, it's like, well, I already killed this boar. May as well take a skin. May as well sell it. You know, like I was already doing the thing I was doing. I already saw a mining node. May as well go pickaxe it. I may as well go pick it, as the kids say.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it at the beginning of the expansion because it forces me to explore more. And I love that sense of exploration in the beginning of a new expansion.
I do too. Thank you for the email, Nioli, Bovine Archdruid on some server somewhere. If you want to send in your own emails, it's so damn easy it hurts. Theinstance@gmail.com. It's the same address we've had for all low these many years since 2006. That's theinstance@gmail.com. All comers and all takers are welcome. That is going to do it for today's show. Before we get out of here, Garrett can be found at amove.tv, where plenty of cool things are happening around the Angry Chicken and other rad shows. Is there anything in particular you'd like to point anyone's eyeballs at this week?
There is so much Hearthstone content out of Angry Chicken this week. Definitely go check it out. A show we do with much less frequency, and you may not know about. Did you know that Tom Merritt, Jenny Josephson, and I do a Star Wars podcast once a month?
I did know that.
Well, if you didn't, it's called Let's Talk About Star Wars, and it can be found basically anywhere podcasts can be found. And there's a new episode up talking about the Solo trailer, talking about the Last Jedi special features. Go give that a listen.
Quick, in a single sentence, your hype for Solo. Are you excited?
As of the most recent trailer, I am sold.
Okay, same.
I was skeptical up until that point.
I was as well. I mean, I still have these niggling things in the back of my head about directors being fired and new people coming in, and you know, all that stuff usually bodes poorly. But they've also pulled it off before at Marvel with these changes to films that I thought were going to be in trouble and they weren't.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, did you like Rogue One? I did. I had fun. I don't think it's the best Star Wars movie ever, but I'm still glad it got made, and it had a lot of similar issues around it.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to have fun with Han Solo.
I am too. And I want gritty, like, underground, smuggly side of Star Wars. That's what I want.
I just want Donald Glover as Lando. That's really all I want.
Well, you got him. Looking all fancy in his dumb haircut. It's going to be great. Very excited. So watch for that. It's going to be fantastic. Check out that podcast. Also, my Kickstarter for playing cards is going live Monday. That's the current new date. I know I'm about a week and a half late, but as these things go, they take a while. Making my own playing cards, a goal I've had since I was 8 years old. I'm going to finally do it. If you're interested in those, there's all kinds of cool unlocks that are very Frog Pants heavy, as well as science fiction and some other cool stuff. So if you are into that sort of thing, and you might even want your own custom poker chip, be on the lookout on my Twitter, Scott Johnson, filmsack.com. It'll also be there. It'll be all over the place. So if you're into that, check it out. Think that is gonna do it. Am I missing anything? No. Theinstance.net is our website. Instance Show on Twitter. Garrett Art for Garrett. I'm at Scott Johnson. Patrick's at NotPatrick. _T for Terpster should be back next week. And more shows like this at frogpants.com. That's gonna do it for us, for me, for Garrett, and for Poopy Patrick. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.